Dr. Tracy Christopherson and Michelle Trosseth met over 30 years ago and have been collaborative colleagues and dynamic co-leaders ever since. They grew up as leaders together and left their corporate executive roles to co-found Missing Logic and bring polarity intelligence to all leaders, partnerships, businesses, and organizations. Today, they work with leaders to become polarity intelligent. Dr. Tracy, Michelle, welcome back to the Resilience Podcast. Great to have you here.
It's great to be back.
Oh, we're super excited. Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful. So a year and a half has passed since we last connected. What are some of the milestones that you've celebrated, some of the challenges that you've navigated?
Well, you want to start?
I'll let you start.
Oh, you're going to let me start.
She's got a huge milestone to share.
I do. Well, my doctorate. I think I was Dr. Tracy when I was on here before. So yeah, I finished my doctorate, which was really an incredible journey and very excited about that. And we've had a lot of changes just in our business as well. And we just revamped our whole podcast ourselves. We were Healthcare's Missing Logic Podcast, and now we're the True Leader Podcast, TRU. And that's for thriving, resilient, and unstoppable leaders. And so that's been really, really a lot of fun and a great labor of love to kind of expand our audience mm-hmm. and expand what we're talking about and bringing polarities to leaders in all different kinds of ways. So that's been fun. And what about you, Michelle?
Well, I have just been working with Tracy on growing Missing Logic. And then probably the other big news since the last time we were here is just that our book was published last month, Polarity Intelligence, The Missing Logic and Leadership. So, you know, we started our business in 2018 and we have persevered through a pandemic like a lot of other people, turned our attention to leaders to help them be thriving, resilient, unstoppable, and then really realize what a great time to write this book, because we knew if we could get the key essence of what polarity intelligence was all about to leaders everywhere, it would really help. And what we believe is a really important movement right now to help people think in different ways, think out of the box. How do we really need to create healthy work cultures, be more resilient and strong leaders ourselves? So I think we picked a pretty good time and it just came out in January.
Yeah. And you had a milestone.
Oh, I became a grandma. That's a milestone.
Congratulations.
It's a big milestone.
It's an amazing milestone. Oh, well done. What a journey. So you have been busy. Perhaps for those who are not aware of what you do, you could just give us a short background. What is it that you do and why do you do it?
Yeah, so we work with leaders and we help them to be thriving, resilient, unstoppable. And we help them really through our framework called Dynamic Balance Effect. So that's one way we work directly with leaders. And one of our pillars in that is polarity intelligence. So our work has really been zeroing in on the leader themselves and helping them through our coaching programs. And we have had phenomenal outcomes with the leaders that we've worked with to bring this new way of thinking and being into their lives. So that's been one of the ways that we work with leaders. And then we also work with organizations as well.
Yep. So we, polarities are present in our personal lives, our professional lives, and our organizations. So we work with organizations to really identify the key polarities that are impacting their performance, impacting the resilience of the organization as an example, and help them to leverage those polarities as well. So we do both, individuals and organizations.
Yes.
Very nice. So tell me a little bit about the latest book, Polarity Intelligence, The Missing Logic in Leadership. What is polarity intelligence?
Well, we have been working with polarity thinking and the concept for over 30 years, again, both personally and with organizations across North America. And we always joke too that we're a walking polarity. You learn about that. They're opposites that are there for a greater purpose. That's part of our story as well. And we really brought polarity intelligence forward because one of the things that we've learned is that it's not just having a polarity mindset. It is also bringing in healthy relationships and meaningful dialogue as well. And that it was really time for a new intelligence in leadership. to go out there and have it be in a way that can be applied practically in day-to-day life and day-to-day business.
Yeah, and polarities are interdependent pairs. Perspectives, points of view, values, they appear to be contradictory or opposite often, but they really have this interdependent relationship and they need each other over time. And probably the best metaphor for that is inhaling and exhaling. So we have to inhale and we have to exhale to sustain life, right? So we need both, and there's benefits when we give attention to both. And there's also a downside. If we overfocus on inhaling and neglect to exhale, there'll be a negative consequence and vice versa. So it really kind of represents how all polarities work, but it's the only polarity in our lives that's managed for us every day. So we don't, luckily, we don't have to walk around going inhale, exhale. Our body just does it for us. And it manages that tension between those two poles on an ongoing basis. So that's kind of a metaphor for one.
For sure. And a lot of people, when they hear words like polarity, they will associate it with polarization, which has negative connotations. But in essence, what you're saying is we actually need two sides for something to function well.
Yes. Well, when the relationship is interdependent, that's really important. So we can have opposites that are not interdependent and cause conflict. And we don't necessarily need both. But when there's an interdependency between the two pairs, both are equally important. And the tension we feel is because there's an energy that binds them together, but yet maintains their separateness at the same time. And, you know, we think about, you know, organizations and we think about individuals and teams. Right? Both are essential. We need both. But there'll be a downside if we overfocus on the individual in an organization and we don't give equal or enough attention to the value that teams bring as well. So that's just another example in an organization that's a polarity everybody manages. In our personal lives, it's our personal life and our professional life. Right. We need to manage the energy between both, get the best outcomes we can from our professional life as well as our personal life if we want to achieve a greater purpose of the highest quality life possible for ourselves, as an example.
Mm-hmm. And I think what we find is that where leaders can get in trouble is if they treat a polarity as a problem to solve and they're only seeing half of the picture. And so that's why we also wanted to bring polarities forward as an important competency for leaders to have, because it's really easy to say we're just going to focus on the team this year and not appreciate the independent strengths and outcomes of individual team members. And we know you won't achieve your greater purpose of having that thriving individual and teams in your organization, as an example.
So an example of a polarity could be, and I'm using terminology from Deloitte's business chemistry model, you've got guardians who are logical, analytical people, and you've got pioneers who are visionaries, creatives. If you've got a team that's too biased in one direction, you will end up with issues. You'll either end up with too much compliance and regulation, rigidity, or you'll end up with just whiteboards full of pictures that don't ever get executed. Is that a good example of a polarity?
That's a great example. That's a great example. And the reason is because when you overemphasize one of those poles and neglect the other, you lose the positive benefits of the pole that you've neglected. Because you're not giving it attention anymore. You're not taking the actions to get the most out of it. And so you lose those benefits. It's just like with the inhaling and exhaling, right? If I only focus on exhaling, I lose the benefit of inhaling, which is receiving oxygen. So it's the same kind of that reciprocal relationship, and you need both. Now, there's always times in our lives and in our organizations where we're drawn, right, towards one pole more than another. But we can never take our attention off the other pole. We always have to be doing something to maintain the outcomes of that pole, or we'll lose our momentum towards that greater purpose, because neither one can achieve the greater purpose alone. So you have to have both. It's an essential relationship.
Okay. So a leader's role in this is really to be able to acknowledge and value both poles and perhaps ride the wave between them. I'm not sure if that's the right metaphor for it, but to be able to help people navigate their journeys, recognizing the importance of both. What would you say a leader's role is?
I think you said it very well. I think for the leader, the reason why this is a three-legged stool, so to speak, with the understanding what a polarity is and how polarities work and that there can be contradictory perspectives. The other is to sit in that tension with individuals who have conflicting perspectives or opposing perspectives and to be able to take them into a dialogue to deeply understand the entirety of the picture and to get the full understanding of the benefits of both of those perspectives and to help the individuals within the team or the organization or whoever is exploring the polarity understand one is not more important than the other. There's an equal importance here. And so the leader kind of helps to create the environment for the deeper dialogue and relationships to support that conversation, right? So they can really help foster the healthy relationships that are necessary to sit in that tension, to explore the tension between the perspectives, and then to create a path to move it forward towards that greater purpose or that shared purpose that the individuals have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And tell me about the leader's Achilles heel, which is a section in your book.
Yeah. So we just love this part, right?
Yep.
So, you know, we are taught about problems from the time we're young, right? And they show up typically in the form of questions. So right from the time we're little and we're just exploring ourselves, you know, and our parents will point to our nose and what's that, right? And we'll say, a nose. Oh, yay, that's right. Right. And what's this? Oh, my ear. Oh, yay. That's right. Right. And then we get into school and we take tests and we're given multiple choices. And when we get the answers right, we are rewarded. Yay. That's right. You solved the problem. You answered the question. And then as leaders, we grow up and the better problems we can solve, the higher up the ladder we go, right? Because we can demonstrate that we're able to deal with, you know, complex issues and address problems. And so it becomes our superpower. And what we learn along the journey is that if this solution is right or this answer is right, all others are wrong. And so we get put into this either or mindset. And so every challenge we face becomes a problem. But that's the Achilles heel, because not every challenge is a problem. Many of the challenges are polarities and they can't be solved. And so if you're trying to apply problem-solving logic to a polarity, it becomes your Achilles heel, because it's you're going to 100% guaranteed to fail if you do that.
Interesting. So what might someone do to improve their handling of such situations? Would this be similar to what people would call a wicked problem, where there actually is no solution? There are so many aspects to it. Rather ride the polarities than try and come up with a solution, especially in this rapidly changing world where what we did 10 years ago is probably completely irrelevant.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, we start out in the book talking about that we live in a VUCA world right now, right? That's volatile, ambiguous, complex, a lot of uncertainty. And that's why it's even more important to be aware of polarities that do exist and that sometimes they are all referred to other terms such as wicked problems or paradoxes or dualities. And we just want to raise the awareness and actually we want to create unconscious competence. That as a leader, you stop and say, wait a minute, is this a problem or is this a polarity that I'm dealing with? Because if we don't, we just keep circling back around and around and around, and we really never we never get the outcomes that we want that are sustainable.
Yeah. So I think it's looking for, and that's one of the first things in really developing a polarity mindset is being able to differentiate between a problem and a polarity. And a polarity is ongoing. It's never going to go away. So many leaders can identify the problems they've been trying to solve that have been unsolvable because they don't go away. They keep coming back. And they'll be saying, didn't we just deal with this 2 months ago? Or I thought we had solved this last year. Why is this back on the table again? Why are we having this conversation again? And usually when we bring that up in leadership groups, everybody's just nodding their head. Oh yeah. Right. Because polarities are ongoing. They don't go away, and you apply what you think is the solution, but it doesn't solve it. It just pops up again in a different way. And so just by looking at how many problems have we dealt with consistently over time, over and over and over, those are typically polarities. And then we also just kind of teach them how polarities show up. And in the book, we talk about, you know, some different questions you can ask yourself. You know, are the alternatives interdependent? Is this something that's ongoing? If we give attention to one of these poles, you know, to one of these alternatives and neglect another, will it come back around, right? Will we ultimately need to apply the other alternative? So there's some core questions they can ask themselves to really start to differentiate. Is this challenge a problem or a polarity? If it's a problem, it will have a definitive solution and there will be an endpoint and the problem will go away. That's the hallmark of a problem. But if not, then it's going to keep coming back. So you want to kind of just learn first to be able to ask that question mm-hmm. and then to differentiate them. And some have both. Mm-hmm. You know, some are problems that have polarities within them as well, mm-hmm. you know. So
yes, got it.
You can have a combination.
I suppose that one of those ultimate polarities is freedom versus safety, because some people want to be on one end and some people want to be on the other end. And sometimes we want one and sometimes we want the other. So instead of trying to solve that problem using logic, we acknowledge it and then move forward. But we'll talk about that in a second. How? First, what's a practical example of a leadership polarity that you've seen out there in the world?
Well, one that we just explored last week, we start out with a common leadership polarity in is stability and change. Because like you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of change happening in the world, but we also know that it can't be all about change. And even though change is constant, we have to have stability as well. Kind of goes along similar to freedom and safety that you just mentioned, right? So it's really important, especially there's such emphasis sometimes on innovation and change. And we always have to be on the cutting edge as an organization.
And leaders drive change.
Yeah, right? They do.
They're the drivers of change oftentimes.
Yeah. So that's a really important one to be aware that it is a polarity. And just last week, we were working with a group of leaders, and we actually have them pick their preference poll, because we often have a preference poll that, you know, I understand there's a need for both, but yeah, I kind of tend to sit on the change poll a little bit more than the stability. And it's always phenomenal to see the way a leadership group kind of spaces out, like, because then it teaches you a lot of things if you really learn about the principles of polarity. For example, they're both equally important. One is not more important than the other, just like inhaling and exhaling. And typically, we find that the smaller voice in an organization is stability. So it's really important as a leader, you listen to those voices. It's not about a 50-50 split. It's not about majority rule. And there's wisdom in that. And so it's really important to listen to those voices.
Well, and then I think our preferences represent our biases. Mm-hmm. So when you prefer change, you're a little bit more biased in that direction, right? You're familiar with all the benefits of it. It's harder to see the downsides of change, but you know the downside of stability because that's not your preference at all, right? So you kind of tend to lean that way. And if you're a leader, you can lean the whole organization that way and ultimately fail. So it's just really important to understand your own biases as a leader and then to put your finger on the pulse of your organization is to know what they're experiencing when it comes to change and stability or innovation and traditions, another way to look at it. And then another one that comes up too is directive and participative decision-making. So that's another polarity. You know, we can have the top-down command and control, or we can have the participative, you know, complement to that, where there are times when leaders need to make the decisions and there's times where this definitely needs to be participative and we need the partnership within the organization with those we lead to move towards that greater purpose that we're trying to serve. So that's another common one that organizations sometimes will struggle with. The leader's a little bit more directive and it prefers that pole, can cause some challenges, or they can have some challenges in, you know, getting to that greater purpose.
Yes. In my new book, which is coming out later this year, I explore the concept of values. And it's really interesting to when you see organizations who just set the company values from the top down and say, everyone, just walk the talk, but they don't necessarily do it themselves. And then the people down here are rolling their eyes going, values, but what, that's just a bunch of nonsense. And you get this polarity there. Like, why aren't you modeling our values? When the leaders are not actually modeling the values either. It's interesting tensions that occur. I'm interested in,
you know, can I just make a point about that? It's just, it's the other thing in organizations is we identify our values, but values come in pairs. And so if organization identifies their values and they're not aware of the complementary, the interdependent values that go with it, that can also, you know, cause a lot of challenges for an organization right from the very beginning. So when we're thinking about our values, to think about, are there any interdependencies in these values? Because polarities represent interdependence. Right? And so just as something really, really important to think about, and organizations tend not to think about that. And then they wonder why they're struggling in their organizations.
Well, what would be an example of interdependent values, just out of interest?
Well, coming from a healthcare perspective, it could be that you could walk in and see values on a wall that says, our value is all about patient excellence. Which is great, but there's nothing in there about the team or the clinicians or the staff. So it just right away you're creating a downside of a value that is not there. So frequently in the work that we do in working with organizations and businesses is we do look at their strategic plan and we look at their values, we look at their priorities, and because we see the missing logic. We can point out you're missing a key, you're missing a part of a polarity here.
And one can be respect too. And that can be conditional and unconditional respect. So we can have, respect for our, the individuals in the organization, the services they provide, the roles that they have, but we have to have unconditional respect equally for all of us as human beings. People and the organization as well, right? So when you think about caring for self and caring for others, and that's a lot about resilience, right? Is caring for self and caring for others, but we can be all about in an organization service to others, servant leadership, serve everybody else. And if there's not an equal value for each person to care for themselves, then that again is another set of values. So when you think about values that shape organizations, kind of those are some broader ones that.
Like you need something we've been talking a lot about with our clients is performance with care, because so often the values are skewed towards performance, but there is actually nothing to support care for self and each other.
That's a great example.
And, that's the one I think that you guys, the resilience of the individual and the resilience of the organization, right?
Is another exactly, thing. Exactly. Yeah, that they work together and they're both equally important. Without the resilient people, I don't think we can build a resilient organization. That's for sure. Can you tell me a little bit about how someone who's listening can develop a polarity mindset?
Well, again, first it's just understanding that there are challenges that are not problems. So it begins with that first, being able to just understand there's a difference and then practicing differentiating between a problem and a polarity. So understanding that, a problem has an endpoint, that there will be alternatives that I can apply that are not dependent on each other. And once I apply the alternative, that problem will go away, right? Like just being able to ask the question, is this a problem or a polarity? And then just spend time really in their organization, in their personal life, differentiating between the things that are coming to them that are problems and those that are polarities. And it all begins there. Because unless you can understand the difference, right, that's the whole point of understanding the difference. And then I think it becomes the practice of applying it to yourself. So in the book, we really usually start with the polarity of work and home, because that's a universal polarity we all are trying to manage, you know, have the best home life and have the best career, the best professional life. And it's the easiest, it hits home, and it's something that we can practice with and that we can manage on our, you know, ourselves, and really get an understanding of how polarities operate. And we know that to leverage a polarity, we have to take action, because the only polarity that's leveraged for us is the inhale and exhale. Every other one, we have to take action to get the outcomes that we want. So if I want a thriving work life, there's actions I have to take to get those outcomes that I want, right? If I want to be highly productive, if I want to be highly regarded, if I want to have an impact, there's actions that I have to take to get those outcomes. And if I want strong relationships at home, if I want to, you know, take care of myself, those things, there's actions I have to take. And it's really understanding that and taking those actions to leverage that polarity, and then recognizing that when I overemphasize one pole, neglect the other, which will happen. I mean, we're human beings. There are times where, you know, we take our foot off the gas, or we shift our attention and we stop giving attention to the other pole. Then there's early warnings that we can put in place so that we know when we're overemphasizing work, as an example, to home. You know, I might become crankier. I might be getting home late or canceling appointments or doing different things that are cues to me that work is, you know, taking the precedence, and I'm letting go of some of the things that are important to me at home. And so there are some early warning signs. And so it's really applying it to self, balancing that, and testing those waters for yourself and developing that understanding. And then they can take it into wherever else they want to take it, in their communities, their organizations, their departments, their teams, and start applying it there.
Yes. Makes sense. So start with something that you know, such as the dynamic between work and home, and then practice. So for example, if I find that I'm leaning too much towards work and I'm neglecting family and I see those warning signs and signals, well, first off, it takes a little bit of self-awareness to even realize that there is something wrong. But I step back and I notice some of these signals, and then it's about proactively saying, okay, what I'm going to do is create some boundaries so that I finish work at this time and spend a bit more time with family, and dedicate a little bit of time in the morning to my fitness or well-being, and not check emails first thing in the morning. So in a simple form, that's kind of managing that polarity, or not fixing it. How would you describe it? It's kind of like restoring equilibrium or something.
Yeah, it's leveraging it.
Leveraging it.
Yeah, we call it leveraging, because there's that tension, right? It's the energy between the two.
Yes.
And you're leveraging that energy to move you closer, keep momentum positive, and move you in a virtuous cycle towards a greater purpose. And typically, if we start to experience a negative consequence or an early warning sign of a negative consequence, couple things have happened. One of two things probably have happened. I stopped taking the action that was going to get me the outcome that I was looking for, and now I'm starting to experience the loss of that, right? Or the action I identified that I wanted to take that I thought would get me the outcome isn't the right action. It's not giving me the outcome that I want. So I need to think about, is there another action that I could take that would get me this outcome, right? So we kind of show people in the book how to map it out, how to make these polarities concrete and actionable, and you leverage that map to kind of know what's working, what's not working, where you're sitting with that energy, right? It's kind of like an infinity loop wrapped around these two poles, and you're managing and leveraging that energy always, because it's always working on you. We like to say it's like gravity.
Yeah.
It's always there. It's always working on you. If you don't know it, it's really working on you. But if you're aware of it then you learn to leverage it, right? So when you're aware of it, you leverage it to lift you up, and you don't let it, the tension of it, pull you down when you're aware of it.
Excellent. This is really clear. I'll tell you something about New Zealand, which is where I'm based. People are very conflict avoidant. People are not very assertive, especially in a business context. It's like we're all nice, smooth the waters, and then a lot of stuff that could be really important goes unsaid, and then maybe resentment creeps in and someone will leave. How important are healthy relationships, trust, psychological safety in the context of polarity intelligence?
Oh, they're very important. And two other components of polarity intelligence are healthy relationships and meaningful dialogue. And so the healthy, Tracy and I knew, you know, it's not enough just to know about polarities. If you're going to be a polarity intelligent leader, relationships are very, very significant. And really the quality of our relationships really represent the quality of our life. And when you're dealing with tensions in different perspectives, we need to give those relationships a lot of intention. And so we identified 6 different principles for healthy relationships that have served us very well over the years. And it's not like all of us are born and we're told this is what you need to do to be in healthy relationship. We kind of learned some of this through our school of hard knocks and just what we've learned from other relationship experts. And we knew it would be really important to have things that really focus the leaders on shared purpose, and being in healthy relationship was one of them. And one of the things that we also bring out in the book is that we have different types of relationships. And one example is there's transactional relationships and there's transformational relationships. And we really need both of them. Not every relationship needs to be transformational, but for the polarity intelligent leader, we really are talking about transformational leaderships, evolving, becoming better ourselves as a human, and then helping others as well. So we differentiate that in the book as well. And really being intentional is one of the first principles, and really bringing that intention forward, that when you connect with another human being in your work environment, you're doing it at the soul level. You're really connecting with them. And then there's other principles that really help guide the polarity intelligent leader as well. And one of them as an example that also represents a polarity is really balancing self and other in that relationship. I need to have a healthy relationship with myself first before I can with another person. So I need to know myself, and that even includes maybe I'm more of an introvert and I have to work hard at bringing my perspective out, or the things about myself that will be important that I need to balance along with the other person. But that also another component is the meaningful dialogue, because we have to know how to have conversations. We need to know how to ask questions so that we really can have that shared understanding. So we also have principles of meaningful dialogue that leaders can really be reflective on and practice in the environment. And the example that you brought up about the New Zealand characteristics really represents a principle of dialogue, but also a common polarity leaders need to leverage, and that is candor and diplomacy. And it's really important in a healthy work environment that we do both. We're candid, we're forthright, we bring our perspectives, we share why we think the way that we do, and we bring it in a way that can be heard. And you can work, and we've worked in work environments where people tend to be more diplomatic than candid, but then you never get all the truth out of the table. And to your point, there's a downside. Maybe people leave. So yeah, it's another important polarity that needs to be leveraged. And candor and diplomacy is a great example of another polarity.
Well, and I think it's really important to recognize that, right? That's a big culture element. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of this, and this is one of the reasons why we included these principles of healthy relationships and meaningful dialogue, is because it's about developing a culture where we can sit in these tensions and we can leverage the wisdom of every person and their experience of it. And polarities give us a common language to talk about what we're experiencing, why we're feeling tension, why we prefer a pull, why we have fears around the attention to another pull. And it really, those two elements in our work and organizations made the most significant difference in us shifting the culture. So, you know, we have to say this is who and how we want to be together. And that's because we want to achieve this purpose, these purposes. And we can't get there if we don't hear the voice of every person, if we don't understand, you know, the benefits of your perspective or the outcomes that we can achieve, then we're missing part of the picture. We're only operating, you know, from a unipolar lens, and that will send us into failure. So I think it's about creating a sense of hope and a sense of importance, that every voice is important, every perspective matters, and then to be able to leverage that and to move people forward. And when it's a, you know, when it's a culture of a people, that can take quite a while. But once they start to see that bringing their perspective is highly valued and that it's equally important as the perspective as the other interdependent component, and actions actually taken to get the outcomes of that value, I think it creates a lot of momentum and hope and energy, and it can shift individuals to being more open and more mm-hmm. willing to bring their voice. So it creates that different culture.
Do you think there are tools, and in particular, I'm thinking of AI, ChatGPT, for example, that can help people unpack polarities better than we might be able to ourselves? So for example, I type in and say, look, this is what is going on here. What might the opposite be, or what might be the opposing force? Or how would you help someone unpack that on a practical level?
Yeah, I think you could start to explore polarities with something like ChatGPT to kind of stimulate your thinking. Like, and I think it is it's a starting point for people. But there's not, I don't believe at this point, there's a strong enough base with, you know, through AI to have that understanding, to be able to have somebody like to create a polarity map for you. It has to learn from us first, right? Yeah. And so many people are novices at this that I don't think we have that depth yet. I would hope in the future, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I think that would be great. But starting out, I think it's good to explore, what is an imposing but equally important perspective to this, right? And you might be able to pose a question like that. And again, when it comes to AI, we have to also use our knowledge and our mm-hmm. understanding around something to discern what is appropriate and what might not be appropriate. So it's something that I think once mm-hmm. I had some understanding, that I could leverage and know, oh, that's not really right? Like you would be able to discern that wasn't quite correct. So I think that's really important.
And we actually just did a podcast on that not too long ago about the polarity of artificial intelligence and human intelligence. It's not an either or, it's an and both.
Yeah.
Interesting. They complement each other. It's a polarity, right?
Yeah,
I'm interested.
We'll need both.
we need both. I mean, it's already invaluable in so many different contexts. It's not a case of us versus it. It's kind of a case of how can we work together effectively.
Yeah. Well, and AI is going to solve problems for us that we can't because of the level of intelligence we have and the biases.
Yes.
Right. So that's why it's an interdependency. It's not just about using AI. It's about we are limited in our capacity as human beings to think outside of the box to deal with the problems that we have today. But through AI, we are going to be able to get to different levels, higher levels of solution if we're dealing with problems and not polarities, right? But it's elevating our ability. And I think when you look at it in that way, and yet we need to bring the human element to all of that as well, right? And we have to feed it. So it's only going to grow and evolve based on what we feed it. So it isn't really a useful tool unless it's fed with data so that it can mine larger volumes of data than we could ever think of doing on our own. So I think that's what's exciting about it.
And not just the inputting all of the issues, but hopefully someone inputs all of the solutions that actually occurred as a result of managing polarities or solving problems, rather than it just knowing these are all the potential issues.
Yeah, exactly. You can learn from others. Absolutely.
Yeah. And the more that's in there, the more patterns it will recognize that we can't.
Yeah. What about measuring and monitoring how you are leveraging your polarities?
Yeah. So there's a couple of different ways to do that. And Barry Johnson has been our mentor, and he really developed the polarity map. So the way to make polarities concrete and actionable, and also develop the ability to leverage the map in an analytical way so that you can actually get real-time results on how well you're leveraging a polarity. So you can actually create a polarity map with the positive outcomes you want for both poles and the negative consequences. And then it's fed really into a tool that turns it into a survey. So organizations can send the survey out across all the individual stakeholders, and you can get real-time results as people start to identify their experience of those outcomes. It begins to map out where the energy is sitting and how frequently individuals, and you can filter that in a lot of different ways. You can filter it by department or teams or organizations or systems. It depends on what level you're measuring the polarity. But it could give you the understanding of how frequently those outcomes are being experienced and where the energy is sitting, leveraging an infinity loop to say, are we experiencing primarily and most consistently the negative consequences, or are we experiencing some positive and some negative? So it can give you a sense of how well you've leveraged the polarity. And then we work with organizations to do those measurements and then to say, okay, now what's our action strategy? Like, we look at the actions they had implemented, the strategies they implemented to get the outcomes. And if they're not getting them, then we look at the strategy. What went wrong? Is it not working? Was it not fully implemented? Those types of things, and help them then to course correct so that they can begin to get those outcomes that they're looking for. And then, of course, if they're getting the outcomes, then it's really about, let's just keep doing what we're doing and sustain it. Or are there a few tweaks we want to make? And we've worked with leaders and organizations where we've measured some core polarities they were dealing with over time, and they were able to see the outcomes and measure their performance over time and leveraging the polarities and see where they were making progress, where they needed to make some adjustments. And then, they monitored that over the course of a few years to see that they were continuing to make improvements, and then identified some areas where they could even do more, right, and get better results. So it's really exciting to be able to see it come to life. Kind of helps you, like I said, put your thumb on the pulse of an organization or of a team to see really what are we experiencing in this clarity. Because otherwise, as leaders, without tools like that, we can kind of get a sense what we think is happening. Mm-hmm. But there's so many individuals having an experience. We don't know what that experience is unless you measure it, right? And then you can see the whole picture.
Absolutely. In your book, you talk about becoming unconsciously competent at polarity intelligence. What does that mean? And how could someone become more competent so that they don't think about it anymore?
Well, we actually talk about the four stages of competency for any competency, right? You start out, you're consciously incompetent. You have no idea. You don't have a clue that these things exist, like gravity. But then you become aware of it and you become consciously competent or incompetent. You know about it, but you really don't know how to work with them at all. And then you move into conscious competence. And so this is being aware, practicing, having different experiences, and then you really shift into unconscious competence. And to us, that is where you just automatically are filtering what's a problem, what's a polarity. You know enough about them, you know how to pick up the characteristics, that it just becomes a natural part of who you are as a leader, and also that you can engage others in the process. It's easy for you to invite others into the polarities that are at hand, and to to further understand what you're dealing with, what are the necessary action steps, how are you going to work on them together. So that's what we mean by unconscious competence.
Yeah. Just like problem solving.
Yep.
Nobody has to tell us how to solve a problem. We just go about it.
Yes.
Right? We pull all the different alternatives together. We, you know.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, but we want people to say, okay, problem or polarity. This is a problem. Okay, here's how we're doing it. Polarity, here's how we do it, right? Like they just know and they just manage it.
Yeah. So we have grandchildren, Brad. So our dream is that it'll be part of their language. They will know when they are dealing with a polarity. And they will know how to leverage it, not only themselves, but with the people in their homes, in their schools. Like, oh, that would just, to us, that would be just amazing. And their work environments in the future.
And I guess some people sitting out there listening might think all of these polarities sound kind of stressful. There's usually tension. But something I'd like to check with you, and my sense is polarities can be a whole lot of fun. And they can be highly energizing. That tension can really drive you towards fulfillment. Would I be correct?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think polarities are stressful when you don't know what they are. And you're trying to solve the same thing over and over. And you're feeling the tension because you're experiencing the negative consequences. That's why you feel the tension. But when you know that you have a polarity, you know how to leverage it. So it becomes like a crystal ball. That's where it becomes fun. Because then you're like, okay, let's map this out. And we know if we take these actions, we know what kind of outcomes we're going to get. We know we can avoid this. We know what we're experiencing. It gives us that language to come together, right? To say, hey, you know, I started to have a little bit, I'm starting to hear, we're starting to have the meeting after the meeting. That's an early warning sign, right? That we're not focused on relationships, that we're over-focusing on productivity. And everybody can go, oh, you're right. Okay, here's what we got to do, right? And so it brings that hope and that fun to it, right? To say we can leverage this. We're empowered. And to know exactly what we're going to experience. I love that because it's 100% guaranteed, right? If you treat a polarity like a problem, you're going to fail. And if you overemphasize one pole and neglect the other, you're going to fail. So it's really in our hands to just take the actions and keep things moving forward. And when we're doing that, when we're leveraging a polarity, we're getting the positive outcomes almost all the time.
Yeah.
That's energizing. That's empowering. That's moving us close to where we want to be. And that's exciting, right? That makes people feel good. And when what they value is valued by others, that feels good too. Because in a polarized world, we're turning away from each other. We're avoiding these conversations because we don't recognize the interdependency in our perspectives. And again, it goes back to if my perspective is right, then your perspective is wrong. And I don't know how to talk to you about that. So I'm just going to turn away from you. I'm not going to listen to you. And what we're saying is there are many, many times when the points of view or perspectives are interdependent. We have to have both. And when we can recognize that and we can find value and positive outcomes in somebody else's perspective, open ourselves up to that, and they can open themselves up to the fact that there are positive benefits from my point of view, then we're getting somewhere. Then we've got a way to talk to each other. Then we can turn toward each other. And we can lean into each other and we can grow as people and we can evolve as a society. But when polarization is negative, it's having us turn away from each other. And that's just because we don't know how to recognize it and we don't know how to leverage it yet. But they will when they read our book.
They certainly will. I love that so much. And it really, it's a call to action for people who see us versus them, or, you know, those people are different and those people are bad. You know what? You actually need them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, what are you going to be doing anyway? Who are you going to be fighting with? But what about joining somewhere in the middle and creating a learning experience? And it's that connection at the center of the infinity symbol in some ways. It just needs to be reconnected, or the two magnets turned around.
Yeah. It's actually a gift. That's the way, it's a gift. It really is. But people just aren't unaware.
Yeah. And it's only, like you said, negative when we're in the downside of it, when we're not doing the things that we need to get the best of both perspectives. Right. So that's what creates that tension. And we can turn that into energy, positive energy between us.
It's a wonderful message. Any final thoughts for people out there thinking about potentially some polarities in their life, stepping back, taking note of these tensions? Any final thoughts for all of our listeners who've joined us on this episode?
Well, of course, we're going to tell you to read our book. And we do have a book website called polarityintelligence.com. So we really encourage people to go out there, look at the website. They can order the book right from the website. We have a lot of different leaders that have read it, that have given their perspectives as well. And it is an essential competency. So we're excited that there's such an openness right now to learn new ways to lead. So that would be really important. And then also listen to us on our podcast, the True Leader Podcast. We talk about polarities frequently. We're continually shining the light on them and other leaders and of what they're dealing with and how they can apply a polarity lens to that as well.
Yeah. And I guess I would just say, you know, when you're first learning something, it can seem complex, but this really is fairly simple. Once you become aware of it, it's really not that difficult. And I think we're all leaders. So we wrote the book for leaders, but we're leaders in our families. We're leaders in our communities, in our homes, and in our organizations, of course, as well, in our nation. So we're all leaders. So even though it's written as the polarity intelligence of missing logic and leadership, we see this as applicable to everybody. It's all levels of your life, you will face polarity. Yeah. So I say, you know, why let something work on you? Why don't you work it? You're going to be a lot happier.
Thank you so much, Michelle and Tracy. Congratulations on the book. Everyone, please do check out the show notes. There will be links there to the website and the book. A pleasure, as always, hearing how your concept crystallizes and becomes stronger and stronger and gains momentum. Thank you so much for joining the session today.
Oh, thank you for having us, Brad.
Thank you. It was just wonderful. Thanks a lot.
Excellent. Thank you all for joining. Please do check out the links in the show note, and I'll see you on the next episode of the Resilience Podcast. Bye.